Still trying to figure out the best merchant account option for your Hong Kong business? Today's show, Global from Asia, number 86, is for you.
Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Happy Tuesday morning, everybody. Yesterday was a big milestone for me. My son, Miles, just turned 1 year old. So I try to get home every day by 8 p.m. to get him to sleep. And I've had to pass up some party nights out and networking dinners, but I think it's all been worth it. I'm loving being a dad. All right, enough of the mushy stuff. So today's show, we're talking about merchant accounts in Hong Kong, or offshore, or high-risk, or Asia-based merchant accounts. It's always been a struggle for us over here. Banks see us as these high-risk e-commerce, internet businesses, and have other reasons probably too, where we have higher application fees, higher monthly fees, yearly fees, discount processing rates, all kinds of different things. Sometimes they hold your money for a long time, or they charge you transfer fees, and so yeah, it's been a troubling issue, and it's been something I've been working on solving here at Global from Asia. And we've had a lot of podcasts in the past and blogs. I'll link them up on the show notes where we talk a lot about different companies. And today we have my friend David Heuenberger on the show. He's recently opened his company in Hong Kong late last year, 2014, and setting up things. And he's been talking to me about merchant accounts, and He got a little bit good timing because Braintree came a couple of months ago to Hong Kong and other parts of Asia, and he applied right away and it just went through and he's got it. So he's going to give us some tips of what he did when he applied, some cash flow tips too about currencies and other things, and we're just kind of talking back and forth. So let's dig in. Okay, thank you everybody for tuning in to another Global from Asia podcast. We have a old time friend and new Hong Kong company user, I guess we would say, David Heuenberger. So thanks for being on the show, David.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I've been, listening to a lot of your episodes and I love the podcast. So it's really great to be on here.
Great. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for coming on. And yeah, I guess we're both from the Tropical MBA group and Dynamite Circle and Puerto Galera. Remember that? shaking hands
4 or 5 years ago. Pretty long time ago. Back then I was interning for Dan from Tropical MBA. I was helping him set up the Dynamite Circle and stuff like that back in the day.
Yeah, that's amazing, the connections that we made at that like short meetup. Like I still have really good friendships that started from that event. So maybe give listeners a quick background, like where you're from and time in Asia.
Sure. So I'm from a small town in Austria, and I left Austria when I was 21. So that was 5 years ago. And I've basically spent those 5 years in Asia. I'm actually in Taipei right now, but I spend most of my time in Vietnam, Thailand, Philippines, and in Bali, Indonesia.
Great. Great. Yeah, I'm still mostly Hong Kong, China. There's a whole crew of you guys in Vietnam now, and
yeah,
I still have to get over there. I keep hearing amazing things, so hopefully one day I'll visit when you're there.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm really impressed with Taipei so far, by the way. I don't know if you've been, but I have not been to China yet. I've been to Hong Kong, obviously, but Taipei is like very organized and clean and developed. It's a very good place.
It's on my list of places to go. It's just like another flight I have to take. The nice thing I like about Hong Kong is I can just hop over from Shenzhen and it's still more like connected by land to mainland China. But there's a story. I don't know if my wife would probably kill me if I said it, but we had flights booked there and she's mainland Chinese. Uh-huh. We had hotels and flights, and we went to the airport to go for like a 3-day weekend about a year ago. Mm-hmm. And we're at the airport in Shenzhen to go, and there's like arguing at the counter, which is actually kind of normal in China because there's always some kind of a debate in Chinese. So I didn't think it was strange, but it lasted longer than usual. And then she said that She had the visa permission to leave mainland China to enter Taiwan, but she didn't get the visa from Taiwan to enter Taiwan. So mainland Chinese need two visas. They need permission to go to Taiwan from mainland China, and they need permission from Taiwan to enter Taiwan as a mainland Chinese. Yeah, actually, I was just in Shanghai, and also another Beijing girl was really upset about that, and she got stuck with that too. Because I guess in China, they don't want to acknowledge that Taiwan's not part of China. I don't want to get political here. So they don't really put a notice on the board at the visa office that you need to also contact Taiwan. Because they don't want to I guess they don't want to lose face and say they can't just send people there that they want to. Like it's their territory, you know, so it's this sensitive thing. So I guess they don't really communicate to these travelers, and I guess somehow they have to figure it out. I don't know how they're supposed to figure it out, but so that was my one chance, or my other supposed to be more chances, but anyways, a little sidetrack there. So yeah.
Taiwanese people definitely seem very, they very much buy into the idea of Taiwan being not China and being an independent country.
Yeah.
They're emphasizing that all the time when I'm talking to them here.
Yeah, I'm always afraid. I guess I think most podcasts are blocked in mainland China actually anyways. So, I don't know. Yeah, of course there's this political stuff, and Hong Kong is getting to be in a similar, there's some strong people in Hong Kong too that I've talked about in previous shows, and yeah, it's just a interesting thing. So let's just kind of skip past that. Gotta try to dodge that one a little bit.
Yeah.
Because there's probably some Chinese listeners too and Taiwanese listeners. So
yeah, let's not go too deep down this rabbit hole.
Yeah. So yeah, it's been fun. You said you've been listening to the show and you found me. Actually, you didn't, I think, by Google searching about merchant accounts in Hong
Kong.
Right.
I was Googling Stripe in Hong Kong, and then I found Lynn, and I was like, oh, I didn't know you do a podcast about Hong Kong business.
Yeah. So then, I've been helping. You also, supported a book, which is awesome. And we've also been a sounding board with me as your experience setting up a Hong Kong company. And then the main focus of today's show is the Braintree merchant account, which is only about a couple of months now been available to Hong Kong companies. So we're definitely interested to hear your experience.
Sure. And let me interject here, since you mentioned the book. So I think the book is so good. You know, there's so much information out there, and you can probably Google everything, but it was just so good to have everything in one place. And there was actually a really big thing that I would have overlooked, which in my case was related to having a certified translation of my address proof, since it would have not been in English, and I would have never known about it if I wouldn't have bought your book, and I would have probably had massive issues setting up my bank account. So I'd highly recommend to anybody listening to this who is interested in setting up in Hong Kong getting your book.
Oh, thanks, David. Thanks. Appreciate that. So, and then we also got to meet, and then I know you were a little bit kind of nervous about bank account, but you got it. Seemed like it went pretty smooth.
Right. Yeah. So, so you were making fun of me because I was wearing not a suit, but I was wearing dress shoes and dress pants and a really nice business shirt. And that's kind of from me talking to other people. Everybody basically recommended you should definitely dress very nicely. And I know you were wearing shorts and a t-shirt or something like that.
I think Chris Gormley too. He's been on a show a couple times. This, of course, is better safe than sorry, especially if you're flying in to do this. So
right,
so, you know,
and it does seem also from some mutual friends we've talked to, it sounds like for non-China and non-Hong Kong residents, it is appearing to get a little bit more difficult setting up the bank accounts for the Hong Kong company.
Yeah.
So, I would definitely, I think it was a great decision that I dressed nicely. I would definitely recommend that, also being prepared.
You should do that every day, right? Why not?
Yeah.
their stories, supposedly it helps you, being dressed up in your image and even your own work ethic. But we're internet business guys, so we like our shorts and flip flops. So let's keep it like that.
And for sure.
So, I guess let's talk about Braintree. So, you got the company set up late last year. And then I think when did you start to apply for Braintree, and how was that process?
Do you want to talk about the PayPal website payments profile?
Oh, sure. We were talking about that. Go ahead. Yeah, I mean, we were talking, because originally I think we were talking back and forth, and I have it in the book too about there is kind of like a payment pro version. I think it's a little bit different technically, right? You're more technical actually than I am, but it's a little bit different for the integration of some carts. But yeah, sure.
So back then, I think in January or so, after me having set up the company and the bank account and everything, I was starting to look into like how do I get credit card processing to work. And after talking to you, you know, it turned out that PayPal offers some kind of solution, which I think it's called Website Payments Pro Hosted Solution.
Yeah.
And you actually need to email them, and you sent me an intro to an account manager at PayPal. So thanks for that. So it's different from the solution that you have in the US and the UK and Australia though, insofar that it's a different, slightly different technology, and basically it's a different integration, which means that if your shopping cart supports PayPal Pro from the US, it doesn't necessarily support the one in Hong Kong, and PayPal is not really like developer friendly either. So I looked into it, and it would have definitely been like a couple hours of like programming work to set up. So I just never really like, I just felt like there were like bigger wins, you know, in my software business. I felt like that the 8 hours of development time would be better spent on my products than on setting up some PayPal integration.
Sure.
And then thankfully, after probably February or March or so, I found out that Braintree had just launched. So I think that was really good news.
Yeah, because like you said, of course, I think probably people prefer Stripe ideally, right? Like,
yeah.
But I think Braintree is almost as good for like, you know, e-commerce and online payments for like internet-based businesses. So yeah, you got really lucky, and we blasted it out. I think I also tried to share it on newsletters and podcasts and social media too. So yeah, it was shooting out everywhere. And then you applied like, as soon as you saw, you just went in there and filled out the form, or what happened?
Yeah, so I went to the website, and you know, there's some kind of apply button. You fill out the form, and then some account manager followed up with me and asked for a couple of documents. And I'm not sure exactly what they were, but they were basically, you know, I think like a copy of the business registration and like one or two other documents, and I think like a scan of my passport, and I think I also had to fill out some kind of form and sign it and scan it in and send it to them. And they also asked me about my business model, so you know, just kind of like basic questions of, you know, like who are you and what do you do.
Okay, so I guess I didn't tell you, but I've been getting some people telling me they're not getting fast response, and some are getting declined without much reason. So I guess.
Oh, really?
But I have talked to others that have gotten it without too much trouble. So I don't know these people. They're just like listeners that they send me emails, and I try to get more information to know what their business was, and just for my own like understanding of why they might have, but they didn't seem to tell me. But
okay,
I guess they probably look, I guess any of these banks or financial services, you know, like it's always the fear of fraud or you know, disappearing, right? Like the company could shut down, you could like keep hanging out in Thailand and they can't maybe get you. So
I guess having like an actual website and, you know, having like a business that is at least somewhat established definitely helped. Also, I'm doing a software where my cost of goods sold is zero. So if somebody, you know, files a chargeback, it's basically free for me to give them the money back. There's like no cost on my end to refund somebody. So that could have helped. And also, so Braintree is owned by PayPal, right? And I don't know like how much like data exchange there is between PayPal and Braintree, but my PayPal account has been around for a couple months at that point, and I've been making like steady sales and, you know, decent amounts of money coming in every month. So they, I guess, they might have looked into that and seen that I'm, you know, legit.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that would have helped. The other thing is it was a little bit slow, so I sent them all of the information, and, you know, sometimes it would take a couple of days to reply, and then I think there was probably like a 3-week waiting period or something like that until I finally got approved.
Yep. And then I guess, so maybe we talk about before that, you probably had regular PayPal, or what were you doing before?
Yeah, right. So I just had regular PayPal on the site, and you can actually also pay with credit card using PayPal, but it's just not the best user experience. And I think some people don't understand that when you click on the PayPal button that you can still actually pay with credit cards.
Yeah,
so it's true. I think PayPal really is like the 80-20 of just like setting up some kind of solution to get paid. But then like eventually, as you know, as like your business grows and as you wanna provide a better customer experience, it's a good idea to get some on-site credit card processing set up. And by the way, just like let me quickly go back to the PayPal hosted solution thing. So that would have been on the site, but it was basically like an embedded kind of widget that was loaded like inside of an iframe or something like that. And so it wouldn't have looked that nice, wouldn't have really fit in with the site. And also they would have required billing address, which, as you probably know, most payment processors such as PayPal, such as Stripe and Braintree, all you need to enter is usually the credit card number and your expiration date and your CCV, and you're good to go. You don't actually need the billing address. But with the PayPal solution, you did as well. So it wasn't really like that good and not really like optimized for conversions.
Got it. But I wonder if that's true with any PayPal, you know, PayPal Pro in the West too. But, you know, I think they're... That might be across the board with PayPal, right? Maybe, but...
Yeah, that could be the case. So I think actually that buying Braintree was probably one of the best things PayPal could have done, because Stripe is very clearly, you know, eating their lunch in the US. But I guess now they can use their... PayPal has all those offices around the world, so they can now use those resources and launch Braintree in countries that don't really have good credit card processing solutions. Sure. So I think that was a pretty good strategic move.
Yeah, I'm trying to get PayPal on the show. They're. I've met some. Like, I introduced you to a rep in Hong Kong, and I've met them in person in coffee shops to talk about the show. But they're, I guess, the company gets so big, and there's so much red tape. They're afraid to get in trouble, I guess. But anyway,
so might be easier to get somebody from Braintree on the show. They just seem, in general, a lot more responsive and a lot more helpful.
Okay. Cool. We'll see. This is probably actually better, you know, talking to somebody that's been through it. So then I guess it seems like about a month, right? You said 3 weeks waiting, the application back and forth. So maybe a month, would you say, is a fair amount?
Yeah, probably. And then I set up a Braintree for my shopping cart, which I think most shopping carts out there probably integrate with Braintree. And then actually I did some test transactions. So I just turned it on and, you know, I used like two credit cards of mine to make a purchase and see how it goes, and then deactivated Braintree again. And that purchase went through immediately. But apparently when you get your first payout from Braintree to your Hong Kong bank account, at least, it could easily take like 2 or 3 weeks or so. So that's what happened in my case. I just got the money last week from those test transactions that I did about 3 weeks ago. And it's going forward, apparently, it's going to be much faster.
Okay.
But that's just the first time. So I've only been up and running for like a week or so.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so then, is that always going to be the case then? Because I think there's a lot of merchant accounts that sometimes with higher risk merchants, they forget the name. It's like they keep it longer. I've even had that.
So as far as I understand, Braintree is going to pay out immediately. And it just seems that the first time you get your payout, there's just, you know, maybe there's some paperwork on their end or something like that involved that causes a delay.
Got it. Okay, cool. And of course, I'm sure everyone's curious the costs. I think your application was free, right? There was no application fee.
Yeah, so it's free to apply. The processing fees are a little bit higher than PayPal, though. So I'm paying 4.4% right now.
Okay.
Which is, it's definitely a little bit high, but I guess it's Hong Kong, so it's okay.
Okay.
I guess Stripe maybe eventually coming to Hong Kong would be interesting, because then there might be a little bit more price pressure. Because in some ways, Braintree has a monopoly in Hong Kong right now. It's like the only good credit card processing solution on the market, really.
Okay. So there's probably also other issues with the Hong Kong banks. Sometimes they're a little bit old-fashioned, and they're almost slowing down innovation, as it seems from what I've talked to HSBC. They have, you know, we've had other people on the show talk about some issues with the banks here being like stubborn to go online.
Right.
So maybe they're adding some extra cost in there for everybody.
So since we're talking about fees, there's basically, so I take my payments in US dollars, and there's two options. I could either get the payouts in US dollars to my Hong Kong, you know, the HSBC business integrated account where you can receive US dollars anyways, or I could get it in Hong Kong dollars. And if you get the paired in US dollars, you have, there is like a $20 fee on their end. So I think it seems like they use Standard Chartered Bank in Hong Kong.
Okay.
So if your account is not with Standard Chartered, there's going to be a $20 fee on every paired you receive, which I guess if they paired frequently, it could definitely add up.
I see.
So, but if you take the paired in Hong Kong dollars, which is what I opted for, the spread is actually much better than it would be with PayPal. So I think they just use a kind of normal banking spread of like 0.5% or so.
Okay.
But what happens with PayPal, as you also wrote about in your book, is like they might take almost 2%, right?
Yeah, they make money off the currency exchange. I don't know if I want to quote them, but I've talked to them about that, and that's part of their business model, I think. So.
Oh yeah, I think it's pretty much 2% that you lose when you withdraw money from PayPal to your bank account. So you
on
get
top,
the money.
Yeah, that's on top of the 3 or 4%. paying, so.
Right, so you get the payment in US dollar, and then like PayPal forces you to convert it to Hong Kong dollars because technically you could send US dollars to your HSBC account and that would be no problem, but they just force you to convert it. Then you lose another 2%. So actually, when you look at it from that point of view, Braintree is probably cheaper, even though it's 4.4%.
It's interesting. Yeah, I mean, then so I guess it's true. The $20 per payout, that might, so you maybe keep it in Hong Kong dollars. And then you have a, I think you did opt in for a credit card in Hong Kong with a, it's also denominated in Hong Kong dollars. So you could at least use those Hong Kong dollars to match up the Hong Kong credit card fees, maybe at least, or you convert them.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe still to convert some back to US dollar or other currencies.
So,
but
I don't think, and I'm curious about your thoughts, but it doesn't seem like there's that much value in holding US dollars in my HSBC business integrated account, because also if I take money out from the ATM, I think it actually has to, I can only take out Hong Kong dollars, right?
Yeah.
I mean, not Hong Kong dollars, but I can only take out like balance from the Hong Kong dollar account.
Yeah. That's why I mostly work in Hong Kong dollars.
Yeah.
It's just the old, everybody's just used to seeing US dollar. Of course, on your websites or in your quotations, a lot of times you should probably charge US dollar, because unless they're used to seeing like Hong Kong dollars, or depends on who you're
right.
On a client side, you got to think about the client when you invoice or charge somebody. But yeah, I operate mostly in Hong Kong dollars in my account. I don't bother flipping back and forth.
Right. Yeah. So in my case, all of the payments are US dollars, either with Braintree or PayPal, and then it's just being converted back into Hong Kong dollars. And again, like the 20 US dollar fee, that only applies to payouts going out in US dollars to other banks than Standard Chartered in Hong Kong.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, welcome to the world of Hong Kong business. But I have euros. Actually, I should have gotten rid of them. I was sitting on a couple thousand euro for a while, and I just never bothered exchanging them.
Oh, yeah, because they crashed.
Yeah, anyway. But yeah, I have a few other currencies, but mostly I operate USD, Hong Kong dollar, mostly. But yeah, I mean, I think you can even hold gold, physical gold, in your HSBC if you wanted, or Chinese yuan, which is pretty restricted around the world. But if you desire to hold Chinese yuan, you could do that.
Yeah, it's actually interesting. So I'm not completely sold. You know, the user interface of the internet banking is terrible, and HSBC seems really old-fashioned. And every time I make some kind of change, I need to courier some document, which ends up costing me like at least 50 US dollars every time I do that. So it's kind of annoying, and you know, you can't email them, but at the same time, they definitely, you know, they have like some cool features as well.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit more money, you can come visit us in Hong Kong.
I mean, yeah.
I think a lot of friends and listeners, we just kind of wait for all that banking stuff until we come to Hong Kong, and then just even for me, I'm across the border, I just, whenever there's a form or something, I just put on my HSBC or my banking or stuff to do when I'm in Hong Kong list, unless it's extremely urgent. But yeah, like I try to batch it all together and just go in there with a list, like a shopping list, and try to do it.
Yeah.
Cool.
I saw that you recommend applying for the credit card when you're actually in Hong Kong, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So I did it like over the phone, and It was quite a bit of hassle.
Oh,
like
I thought you did it right away. Okay.
Yeah, actually, so let me tell that story, and maybe that's I think it's an interesting story. So
sure.
Yeah, I did apply for the credit card when I opened my HSBC bank account, and I told them like outright that I was, you know, willing to put some money into that time deposit account, which they basically use as collateral and should you ever default on your credit card payment. So, you know, if you have a credit limit of 10,000 Hong Kong dollars, you would want to put 10,000 into that time deposit. But they never followed up on that. And then I just got a letter a month later that I got declined. Because I, you know, I'm not a Hong Kong resident, so of course they declined it because there was no collateral. But I explicitly told them that I like wanted to do the collateral. They just didn't really like do it, and then I got declined, so I had to reapply when I was outside of Hong Kong. But it worked out, you know. I had to call them, and there was a couple of phone calls and actually emailing back and forth documents. So I was actually able to like kind of reach communicate via email, like at least send scanned documents via email, and then I would basically hear back if they were like correct or not. And then when they were correct, I had to query them. So it was quite a bit of hassle, but I eventually got it sorted out. So I'm really happy about that.
Glad it ended up working. Yeah, let's maybe say that for HSBC for another episode, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're a little bit, yeah, like you said, a little bit old-fashioned, I guess, with you used to seeing everybody come in face-to-face. Like I know, I kind of know all these reps, a lot of them, at least four or five, they recognize me now. And they always say, I always try to say, can't I like email you? Or they're like, oh, just come in. We like to see you. You can have coffee, free coffee, Wi-Fi. I'm like, but I don't want to come in. Like, and even some of the accounts, like they, if you look at the different breakdowns of the business accounts, they, the higher level accounts have priority lines in the queue. So like, that's like a feature where I think of course, probably most listeners were, if you listen to a podcast, you're probably a little bit more technically advanced. So, yeah, most of us don't want to like wait in line, and we don't want to like go in person. We want to do everything online, but they're still, getting used to that or not embracing it, let's say.
Yeah.
All right. Well, all right. So this is, yeah, I think it's been helpful for some people, just to give them some courage. So then you're happy with it, and you're happy with Hong Kong as your business headquarters for your internet business?
Yeah, absolutely. So since I don't live in Austria anymore, and Austria is not necessarily the, you know, it's not a very business friendly country. It's a little bit more on the socialist side. I don't want to get too political, but it obviously didn't make sense for me, I think, to incorporate there. And I think Hong Kong was a really good choice. You know, you have like solid banking infrastructure. Now you finally also have really good, Braintree is really good. I would highly recommend it. It's basically like Stripe. So you have really good payment processing now as well. So I really couldn't be happier. I think it was a great decision.
Awesome. Awesome. And so maybe we'll just talk a little bit about, I know you're not thinking this is a big promotion for your company, but I would like to talk about Fat Cat Apps and and some things you're doing. So can you maybe share a little bit?
Okay, sure. So my business is called Fat Cat Apps, and we make WordPress plugins that the grand like scheme is that all of the stuff you work on in some way or another helps you like make more sales or get more conversions on your website. So the two main products we have right now is this one called Easy Pricing Tables, which makes pricing comparison tables and pages, which is basically the most important page of any website. And our tool makes it really easy to create those pages, and they, you know, look really nice and they convert well. And the other product is called Opt-in Cat, and that makes it really easy and it includes all of the tools you really need to grow your email list. So there's some competitors out there that have a lot more features, but it's basically like the 80-20 approach to like all the stuff you really need to grow your list.
Okay, great. Yeah, I mean, I'm a user of your Easy Pricing Tables on one of our apps, Task Labels, I was mentioning, and I like it because I'm trying not to be involved in the updating of the website, so so I can just tell our you know, non-technical, non-web design people to use it and change the price and change the layout and the color. So yeah, I see it, a need for that. So
awesome. Yeah, Easy Pricing Tables in particular has, it's been around for a while, and it's got, I think, more than 120,000 downloads now. So actually, even today, I was like browsing some random website, and they had like a pricing page, and I clicked there because I was interested in their product, and I was like, oh, let me use Easy Pricing Tables.
It's awesome.
It's actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
Coming across a website on the internet that uses my stuff, that's always really cool.
Yeah, great. I mean, you've worked hard, man. I mean, a lot of years here hustling in Asia, right? And
yeah.
And you deserve it. So to your continued success, and I'm glad you're also on board with Hong Kong as your center. So you also have a podcast about WordPress, and you know, I think we're wrapping up. Maybe you tell some people about how to reach you or get more information.
Sure. So the best way is probably to just email me, david@fatcatapps.com. Yeah, I think that's the best way. And the website, of course, is fatcatapps.com.
Okay. All right. So that's a wrap. Unless you have something else to share with us, maybe?
No.
Okay, cool.
I think that's it, yeah.
All right, great. Then take care, David.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you, David, so much for coming on the show and sharing so openly. I love that we have this, you know, great group of people coming on and giving us their input of their experiences and sharing and helping others. So it's just really an awesome feeling. And I also learned a bunch of different things I haven't yet applied for my own business. And I'm learning about you can have the choice of Hong Kong dollars or US dollars and the differences in fees with the two. I'm really happy that we're at more merchant account options here in Hong Kong. I'm also talking to other companies who are recently coming to Hong Kong or on the way of setting up a company. And there's some startups too that are getting going. So I just never predicted I'd become a merchant account Hong Kong go-to source or knowledge base. But seriously, it's been a real issue and blocking a lot of companies from, you know, growing their global business. So it's a prior reason some people might not even bother setting up companies here. So I'm just happy that it's got these things going on. And I'm wondering, what are you guys listening? Are you doing, if you have a Hong Kong company or Asia-based business, what are you doing? I've had some reports from listeners that did apply to Braintree and didn't get approved, and I don't know why. I was trying to get more information. It was in some emails, but they didn't really tell me how they applied. I'd love to hear your stories. If you want to leave a comment on the blog, that would make me really happy. And maybe any kind of merchant accounts, stories, offshore issues, or applied or declined or whatever, globalfromasia.com/episode86. Hopefully we'll get some comments there. I also keep an up-to-date comparison chart of Hong Kong merchant accounts in the blog. I'll link it up on the show notes. So that wraps it up for this show. I also went in and refreshed iTunes reviews, and no new reviews again this week. I know you guys are listening, but I'm told that it helps get more listeners and more exposure. So if you like the show and you don't want to spend any money on some of my products, you could also spend a little bit of time and leave a iTunes review. It means a lot to me. Of course, I read them. I'll give you guys a shout out on the show. And that's it. So I'm going to stop begging and I'm going to get off the mic. Enjoy the rest of your week. Catch you next week. We're going to actually have talking about Hong Kong travel destinations when you're coming through for business, some like day trips, and a pretty cool platform startup that's helping people do some tours in Hong Kong. So catch you then. Peace.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.